Greetings, friends, and welcome to another broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we will conclude our studies of the living, the natural, or the supernatural life. Living, the supernatural, or the spiritual life. And once again, for the last time, we will read our theme verse as spoken by Paul, writing to the Corinthians, his second epistle, chapter 4, and verse 18. He writes, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. They belong to time. If you can see them, they're transitory. They belong to time. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Faith can see them. Faith has good eyesight, and it sees the eternal things. Now, the things around us are so transitory. They're passing. The world of the here and the now seems so real to us, but it's all going to be gone someday. And we are spiritual creatures. And we want to emphasize that on our last broadcast when we speak of our ministry as being miraculous in character. The Christian has the privilege of engaging in a miraculous ministry to others and can do untold wealth and good to those who will listen indeed. Now, the salvation of the soul, I think, is the greatest miracle. It's really resurrection. It's bringing life out of death. We read in John chapter 5 and verse 24, our Lord Jesus Christ is speaking on this occasion. Listen to his words. He says there, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." That's resurrection. And what a glorious subject that is. You and I experience resurrection not when we die, not when we're raised again from the dead. Well, we do in the strictest sense. But we, in the spiritual sense, experience it now when we trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Listen to these words again. They're so precious. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word." Well, he's speaking to us today out of his word, "and believeth on him that sent me." God sent his son into this world. We read John later wrote in his first epistle, "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation or the sacrifice for our sins." Now, he's just saying this, "and believeth on him that sent me." He was sent to accomplish the Father's will. He was sent to the cross to die for your sins and for mine. Now, what does the Lord say about this person? Shall not come into condemnation. He'll never experience judgment because the judgment fell upon Christ, our substitute, our dear Savior who loved us to that point. And then when we believe it, we have passed from death unto life. Also, we read in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. Paul is the writer there. He says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together," given us life. That old English word quicken means given life. "Hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved." How wonderful. We get these things from the Scripture. It's a passage from death unto life. Now, we, as Christians, have a part in that ministry and in ministering to others. And it's a new birth in John chapter 3. When we pass on this knowledge to others, the Holy Spirit takes up the Word of God, and he gives eternal life to those who will believe on our Lord Jesus Christ. In the third chapter of John, Nicodemus, a very, very notable man, we would have all admired Nicodemus. He came to the Lord Jesus and he said, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." This was when he was alone with the Lord. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now, if anybody was qualified to go to heaven because of who he was, it was Nicodemus. But the Lord told Nicodemus, you need to be born again. Nicodemus was puzzled. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water, and that's the water of the Word of God, and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. For that which is born of flesh, of the flesh, is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. I want to read that correctly. That which is born of the flesh is flesh and cannot rise any higher, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Our biological parents gave us nothing in life except our bodies. They are our biological parents. God gave us our souls and our spirits. That was from God. Now, actually, when we go on to consider the subject further, we cannot give anybody eternal life. We tell them the story about the Lord Jesus Christ going to the cross, and later he tells this story so beautifully to Nicodemus. And we have in that story the wonderful verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, Nicodemus believed it. Later in the scripture, he was one of those with the rich Joseph of Arimathea. He was a rich man who embalmed our Lord Jesus Christ, who wrapped him in spices. He was a devoted believer of our Lord Jesus Christ. He believed the story. He believed the story that the Lord told him, that as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now, it's when you and I believe on the Lord Jesus that the Spirit of God gives us life. Now, there is a sense, of course, that we are the spiritual children of those who bring us the gospel. We read, for instance, and we want to have three headings to our subject today. First of all, the salvation of the soul is the greatest miracle, and the Christian is an instrument in that great miracle, and then the results are eternal. Now, let's go on to what the Apostle Paul tells the Romans, or rather the Corinthians, I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and verses 14 and 15, we read there. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet ye have not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Now, that doesn't mean that Paul gave them life, but he was an instrument. Just as our parents, our biological parents, were instruments to bring us life, he was an instrument to bring those people eternal life by telling them the story about the gospel. Now, this is our ministry too. The Christian, the child of God, is an instrument of that great miracle, and we have that privilege of bringing gospel to others. After all, somebody brought it to us. I'll never cease to thank the man that told me about the Lord Jesus. He is in heaven now, and I'm going to see him someday. And I just tell you, he means so much to me. Do we want to be a blessing to others? Let's do them an eternal good. Let's just not be an eternal a help of time. We admire noble people who are involved in relieving temporal distress, distress that is related to time, such as the Red Cross and Salvation Army, the social worker, the doctor, the nurses, many others too numerous to mention. We admire these people. They're noble people. But how much greater is the service of relieving others of eternal distress? And you and I have that privilege of telling others about that. And we don't realize that we're living under the surveillance, the constant surveillance of those around us. I had that brought to my attention once in my own personal experience. The Christian is a watched person. He is under surveillance. And we speak of the gospel according to Matthew, and the gospel according to Mark, and the gospel according to Luke, and the gospel according to John. What is the gospel according to us? We live our lives down here. We witness for the Lord by our lips and by our lives. And that was forcibly brought to me one day when I was working with a fellow worker by the name of Reed. Reed, out of a clear sky, said, "Ken," he says, "I envy you." I says, "Why, Reed, why would you say that?" He says, and I say, "Why do you envy me? He says, "I envy you your peace." Well, instantly I realized what he meant. And I said, "Reed, let me give you the secret of my peace. I know the Prince of Peace in person. And he bought my peace with his precious blood. I know him. And I know that I've trusted that blood, and he shed his blood on the cross of Calvary to wash me from my sins. He died under the weight of their judgment that I might go free. He removed the barrier of sin that would have kept me out of heaven." And I gave him the gospel story. He asked for it, and he got it. And I told him, and I thought, how wonderful that he had me under surveillance, and I didn't even realize it. We're being watched. And we, by our lives, can show the satisfaction and the joy that there is in Christ. Oh, that we might make people thirsty for the Lord Jesus. And certainly, Reed was anxious at that time. Now, if we are alert, I think these opportunities will come. Sooner or later, the people will be impressed by the peace that we have, the joy that we have, even in troublous times. And they will want what we've got. We just trust that our lives will lead people to Christ as well as our lips. Both are needed. And I evidently use both of those avenues in reaching Reed. And I'll tell you that this is our precious opportunity. Oh, how wonderful to live the supernatural life and to see that the things of time and sense passing baubles. They're not worthy to be compared with the worth of eternity. May God make us to realize what we have in Christ and pass it along to others. Our Savior, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that we will show our gratitude to you by telling others about you. Father, thank you for your dear Son. In his name, amen.